while we've been looking at the book of Hebrews, those expressions, let us fear, let us labor, let us hold fast. And tonight we want to look at another let us, Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us come boldly. Now, that word boldly doesn't mean that we come rashly or rudely or crudely. It may better be translated, let us come with confidence. Now, I cannot go with confidence or without confidence to the president's home. I probably would land in jail if I tried to do that. But each one here, each child of God, can come with confidence into the presence of Almighty God. And there is a beautiful thing about it, you know. It's not like making a telephone call where they ask you to hold and listen to some music till we get someone to speak to you. God is always ready to hear us. Has no secretary intervening and telling us to hold the line. We come with confidence. And that is what we want to consider tonight, coming with confidence. Now, as a little background for that, I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the book of Esther and read what the situation was in her times and in her day. Esther chapter 1. Starting at verse 10. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abatha, Zecha, and Carcass, the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the royal crown, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look at. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains, and therefore was the king very angry, and his anger burned in him. Then the king said to the wise men which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that he knew, that knew law and judgment. And the next unto him was Kashina, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Mersis, Marcena, and Memucan, the seven princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face and which sat the first in the kingdom. What shall we do unto Queen Vashti according to law, because she has not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains? And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes when it shall be reported. The king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persian Media say unto all the king's princes which have heard of the deed of the queen, thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. If it please the king, let a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus. Let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. And when the king's decree which he had made shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great. All the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and to small. Chapter 4, please. Now that's the background. Verses 1 through 10. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes, went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry. It came even before the king's gate, for none might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it to her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved. She sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatach went forth to Mordecai unto the city, unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, of the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasury for the Jews to destroy them. Also he gave him a copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make request before him for her people. Hatach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again Esther spake unto Hatach and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. That's the background. Verse 11. All the king's servants and the people of the king's province do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law to put him to death, except such as to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. And I have not been called to him these 30 days. My, my, my. You talk about barbarism. And you talk about civilization. This wasn't civilization. The man's wife, he hasn't called her for 30 days. What sort of a relationship is that? 30 days and he hasn't called her. And she's afraid to go because if he doesn't hold out the scepter, she will be killed. You love? Wherever you find these barbarous activities and actions going on, it is because the Word of God hasn't been there. Now that was true then, it is true today. Wherever you find women ill-treated, it's because this Word hasn't been there. For example, there are many things that we take for granted today that are exactly the result of this Bible being in certain places. Hospitals, they're the result of the Bible. And Christ's teachings. Homes for the aged, the result of the Bible. Homes for the insane, the result of the Bible. Care of orphans, the result of the Bible. And as we look around and we see different nations with strange customs, and in some parts of the world the ladies have to walk with their, you can only see their eyes, I don't know how they breathe. That's because the Bible has not been there. And again I say, what a situation. For 30 days this man has not spoken to his wife. That's terrible. But let's read on. Verse 12. They told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape the king's house more than all the Jews. If thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then there shall be enlargement and deliverance to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Notice, please, verses 15 and 16. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. This is her answer. They say that the Bible is against women. Read this. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. That's no believability. And when they tell you that the Bible is against women, they haven't read it. I remember some time ago a young fellow in New York was taking a course in English. And he came to me and he said, my teacher said that the Bible is against women and it holds them down and it treats them this way and that way. Can you recommend some literature? There is a book, I don't remember the author, but it's called And Sarah Laughed. And I recommended that to him. That was about February. I came back in June. Asked him how he made out. He said, the teacher gave me an A and she wished she could give me more. This book is not against women. The elevation that women have had throughout the world is the result of this very book. And those who tell you that it is against women and decries women and puts them down haven't read it. But notice the queen's situation. She says, if I die, I die. That's noble. Well, that's almost like the words of Ruth. Where thou goest, I will go. Thy God shall be my God, and where thou die, I will die. The nobility of women as shown in the scriptures. And I would suggest that you take time, look up the many noble women in the scriptures. Now, of course, there's some ignoble women too, like Athaliah and Jezebel. But look at the noble women. This book has always elevated women. If I die, I die. But let us read on. Chapter 5. Verses 1 to 3. It came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel, stood in the inner court of the king's house, against the king's house. The king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. It was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. How do you think that happened? She told her people to pray. And beloved, as we were reading, let us go to the throne of grace. For all our difficulties and problems, that's the place to go, to the throne of grace. She obtained favor in his sight. The king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Again, I say, what an unwholesome position for a wife to be in. Brethren, when you get your wives, please don't treat them this way. You know, in Ephesians we read, and this causes so much misunderstanding about the wives submitting to the husbands. You know, they don't read the next part. It says that the husband ought to submit to the wife. Now, I'm not going to go into that. I'm going to make one suggestion. The seat that you are sitting on is submitting to you. And should that seat decide not to submit to you, you'd be on the floor. And when the Bible speaks of submitting to one another, it doesn't mean take your foot and push the person down. It means hold them up. Well, that's another subject. We won't go into that. But now, let us look at a few things. We've seen the boldness of the king. and we are invited to come. The story is told of a little boy in England, and he wanted to see the king. Got up early one morning, had breakfast, and went to see the king. And when he got to the palace, he went up the stairs, and there was this big guard. "What do you want?" "I want to see the king." "You can't see the king. Go away." And the boy turned away crying. And as he was returning home, he met a little boy about his age and size. The second boy asked him, "What are you crying for?" "I went to see the king, and this man told me I can't see the king." And this little boy said, "You come with me." And he took him back to the palace. They went up the stairs. And when they got to this guard, this first fellow began to tremble. He said, no, it's all right." The guard opened the door, and the two of them walked in. This little fellow took the first fellow up to the king's throne and said, "Daddy, this boy wants to see you." He had access. Beloved, we have access. Let us take advantage of the access and get before the throne of God. Let us pray. Now, just a few thoughts on prayer. And I'll be finished. Luke 18, verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1. I'm sure most of us know it from memory. "He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men..." Now, I don't have to say it here, but I'm going to say it. Now, that "men" is a general word. It doesn't mean only males. There's a specific word for males. Men here mean men and women. "Ought always to pray and not to faint." And the word "ought" is a military word. It is your responsibility and your duty to pray and not to faint. Not to lose heart. God expects us to pray. It is our duty to pray. It is our privilege to pray. Now let me ask you, beloved. David in the Psalms tells us he prayed 3 times a day. So did Daniel. How many times a day do you eat? Most of us 3 times, right? How about praying 3 times a day? Men are always to pray. Ephesians 6, 18 and 19. Paul is speaking, the Christian's armor. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication." How do you pray always with all prayer? In other words, you're not just saying words. Prayer that comes from the heart. Prayer, sincere prayer. We mean what we say. We are just not uttering words. There was a book written. Some of you may be familiar with it. The last day that Lily said her prayers. Does that mean she didn't pray anymore? Then she began to pray. Just don't say prayers. I remember in my own life, my mother taught me that prayer which most of us know. "This night I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." And I had a problem in school, 2nd grade. And one day I said to my mother, "Mother, after I say the prayer that you taught me, can I pray for the things I really need?" And she said, "Yes." The first I was saying prayers, but that latter part I was praying. And God expects us to to pray. Don't say prayers. Don't pray by rote. I remember back in New York, prayer meeting, a certain brother would get up and I could tell you exactly what he was going to say. It was like a recitation. He was just uttering words. Let us pray in our prayer. Men ought always to pray. Now, Ephesians 6, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Watching for what? Watching for an opportunity to pray. And it has been said, anytime you find yourself in a situation where you can't pray, you're in the wrong place. Watching always for every opportunity to pray. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Whom should we pray for? Chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that prayers, supplications, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for whom? All men. Not like the little boy who said his prayers one night. Lord, bless mommy, bless daddy, bless my sister Mary, bless me, us four, and no more. We're not to pray that way. We're to pray. These terrorists. Have you prayed for them? Their only hope is salvation. And while we don't like the idea, and while we'd like to see them stop, and while the president said he's going to stop them and necessarily punish them, God wants to save them. We're to pray for all men. Oh, beloved, pray for the terrorists. They need it. Salvation is their only hope. For kings, all that are in authority, that they may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. All in authority. Pray for the governors. Pray for the mayors. And I'm going to tell you this. You pray for that peace officer out in the street. He's an authority. He needs our prayers. I know sometimes back in New York I'd be coming home late and the policeman would be as frightened as I am. They're human. I remember one time I had a call to a house. It was obviously a vacant house, but who knows who was up there needing help. So I went to the police station and asked for an officer to accompany me. And the sergeant assigned a big, burly, heavy-set guy. We got to the house, he took out his gun. No lights. First floor, fine. Second floor. Got to the third floor, and I kicked a piece of paper, and he turned around and pointed the gun at me and said, No, I just kicked a piece of paper. I'm not the person you're looking for. Then we got up to the top floor. And I said, well, we haven't found anybody. And you know, working with them, I learned a lot. I said, we can go down now. Everything is over. He said, no, this is the worst part. We don't know if he's hiding anywhere in here. And the Lord saved him. But we need to pray for the peace officers. That's a dangerous job out there. You standing up on duty and somebody has a plan to shoot you in the head. Pray for the powers that be. Now the next thing I'd like to call attention to, pray when you're in an emergency. Ever been in an emergency? That's the time to pray. New York City, this has happened more than once. Have you ever been in an elevator and the elevator stops between stories? It's a terrible feeling. And one day at the hospital, going to the pediatric ward, here with these mothers with all their little children, the elevator stopped between stops, between stories. The lights went out. It was hot. The little fan they had ceased to work. The children began to cry. And everybody looked at me. And I said, just be quiet. We'll pray. That happened 3 times. And it's not a funny, it's not a pleasant sensation. In emergency, to pray to the Lord. Turn with me, please, to Nehemiah. We've looked at this before, but let's look again. You can never look at the Word of God too often. Nehemiah chapter 2. Now, you know the story, so I'm not going to read the whole story. Let's read verses 4 and the first part of verse 5. Chapter 2. Do we all have it? This is. If we get nothing else, let's get this. Then the king said unto me. Now this is the king, see? First man in the land. And when the king asks you a question, you answer immediately or sooner. You don't stay there stuttering and stammering. You answer the king immediately. Then the king said unto me, for what do you make request? And what did Nehemiah do? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king. That's what you do when you're in an emergency. Now, it couldn't be a long prayer, because you couldn't keep the king there waiting while you're praying. A nice, short, brief prayer. Come to the throne of grace. I don't like to tell you about myself too much, but I've had some nice experiences. I remember one experience. There were 100 of us applying for 24 positions. And we had to take an oral examination, and these men examining sat in a semicircle, and then we sat over here. The examination started at 9 in the morning and was over at 9 in the evening. And they were very unkind. They didn't offer us breakfast, lunch, or supper. That was up to us. And Arthur Garnes went in there. And one man looked at me as if he wanted to look through me. Penetrating, piercing eyes. And he asked me a question. And I prayed. And then I answered. And when I answered, the man that was conducting the session said, have you any more questions? He said, no. The Lord stopped me. I prayed. And the answer that God gave me to give to him, he didn't need anymore. Pray in emergencies. You go for an interview to a job, and they're going to ask you a lot of questions. Before you answer, pray. And it can't be a long prayer. They're not going to say to listen to you pray. It has to be a short one. Let's see how. Oh, Matthew chapter 14, please. Matthew chapter 14. We know this one well. Peter is drowning. See? Now, if you were drowning and you wanted someone to save you and you had to pray, what would you pray? How long would you pray? The longer you prayed, the longer you stayed in the water. So the sooner you prayed and the shorter your prayer, the better you'll be. Matthew chapter 14, did I say? Yes. Verse 30. We know the story well, so I won't go read the whole story. Verse 30. When Peter saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And he was an old seaman. And if he was afraid, what do you think I'd be? He was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried. What did he say? Lord, save me. That's all. Didn't have time for him. Lord, one of those long ones. And we have to be careful. We'll talk about that another time. But it's not true here. So you pray as you've been praying. But there are some brothers who pray too long. I went to a prayer meeting in Brooklyn. I was about, maybe 10 years old. My dad took me on a Friday night. The meeting was scheduled from 8:30 to 9:30. They sang a very short hymn, a couple of verses. Then this brother got up and he prayed from about 8:35 to 5 after 9. Then they sang another short hymn. And the second brother prayed after that hymn until 9:30, and the meeting was dismissed. The Lord tells us about the Pharisees who prayed long. And you know another thing in praying? When you're praying, you're not to preach. If you're going to preach, preach. But there's some brothers who get up and they preach in their prayer. You're not guilty of this, but I also heard this. I was present. When we meet on Sunday mornings, it is to worship the Lord. Worship means worth of the Lord. We're giving thanks to Him, as our brother has been telling us about worship. I remember decidedly, and I know where it was. I can give you the address if you want. 89 West 134th Street in New York City. Second floor. Morning meeting. This brother got up. Oh, Lord, please make peace with me and my family. It's not the place for that. You don't go there to ask the Lord anything. You go to give to the Lord. We are to come with confidence to the throne of grace. But we have to remember whom we are before and the purpose for which we come. I remember another time, I must have been about 12 or 13. And this brother came to the meeting and he spoke on prayer and he says, I'm going to give you a little prayer that will serve you in any emergency. Would you like to know what that prayer is? If not, I'd be boom bop. Well, since you haven't responded, let's turn to Psalm 12, please. An emergency prayer. And I've used this one too. When you're in an emergency. And in medical practice, you can get into a lot of emergencies. Psalm 12 is what this brother introduced us to. Verse 1, the first two words, help, Lord. That's all you have to say. That'll do it. Short prayers, brief prayers, when you are in an emergency. Help, Lord. Time is just about up, isn't it? Why do we pray? Why should we pray? Men ought always to pray. Why? Little boy was going to school one morning, and an older man met him and stopped him and said, son, did you say your prayers last night? No, I didn't say my prayers last night. Why didn't you say your prayers last night? I didn't need anything. Is that why we pray? Because we need something? That's not the reason for praying. We pray because we are creatures and God is the creator. And we depend upon Him for everything. Read it in the book of Job. That if God were to take away our breath, you'd be gone. And it's interesting how the Bible reads. Do you know that if you are without air for 3 to 5 minutes, you'll die? That's why they talk about CPR and how to revive people and get them breathing before that 5 minutes is up. And were God to take away our breath, we would all die. We pray not because we want something. We pray because we are dependent people, dependent on the Lord. I see it's a few minutes after 8. I stop here and request that we sing. Now this is a long hymn, so we'd only sing 3 verses. 466. Verses 1, 3, and 6. And remember, brethren, sisters, let us come with confidence to the throne of grace. At another time, we'll consider why prayer is not answered. If there's anything between us and the Lord, don't expect your prayer to be answered. But it's so easy to have things moved away from between the Lord and us. 466, 1, 3, and 6, please.